As I was preparing for this week's services, I came to a realization that was startling. Never thought of this before, but as I was reading the scriptures of the events of the day of the resurrection, at least initially, every activity of the believers was an activity of unbelief. Faithful people doing faithless things. Every single one of them. Now, that's how it started out. Fortunately, it didn't end up that way. But I thought, you know, that's really sad. All these people are acting because they didn't believe the truth about the resurrection of Christ, that God was going to perform in the time period that He said He was going to perform the resurrection. This morning in this service, I want to look at what I have called the folly of unbelief. We'll look at the activities of the women that were associated with the ministry of Christ. Then later on this morning in our regular morning service, I'm going to look at the fear of unbelief. We'll look at the men. So I give equal opportunity for failure. But if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we just need the first three verses. And it reads this way: "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." Number one thing that I see here about the folly of unbelief is these women spent on things that they did not need to spend. It says here in verse 1 that they bought sweet spices. The purpose in buying these spices was that they might anoint the body of Christ. But if the body is not going to be there, how can you anoint it? What need is there to anoint the body, or shall we say, embalm the body of a living person? That is an absolutely ridiculous thing to do if Jesus is going to rise from the dead. They're coming to the tomb with an act of unbelief. And I don't want to sound like Judas and when Mary Magdalene came with the ointment of expensive and say this money could have been given to the poor. But God holds us accountable for how we use our money. And when we're using it for things that are outside of His will, there's consequence to that. They bought sweet spices. Not only that, according to Luke chapter 24 and verse 1, they spent time in preparing these spices. They spent time, not just money. I don't know exactly what they had to do to prepare the spices, but something had to be done, or Luke wouldn't record it for us. And consequently, when did they do it? Well, verse 2 says, "And very early in the morning." Now, they had been there on the day of the crucifixion, which I do believe is more than likely on Friday. But Joseph and Nicodemus took the body, and they brought a 100-pound weight of spices to wrap the body after the Jews' manner of burial. But they had to do it rapidly because sundown was coming, and once sundown came, it was the Sabbath, and they couldn't be working on that thing, so they did it hastily. And consequently, during the next day, the Sabbath, I doubt these women were preparing the spices. They got up then very early, Sunday morning. Now, I like that. I'm an early morning person. I think that's great. I think if you get up anywhere after 5 o'clock, you're out of the will of God. You don't like that one. Well, I'll take that one back then. But these women got up during times that normally they would spend sleeping. And God cares about how you spend yourself in the maintenance of your body. He has given His beloved sleep. Also, cough drops. But these spent on things that were unnecessary to be spent upon. money, time, effort, because they simply did not believe in the resurrection of Christ. Do you know people today are still spending money on things and spending time on things that are of no spiritual value? I went online this week to look at some things that are being peddled to Christians to aid them in their worship of God. In the Christian Book Distributors website, I found this anointing oil. 6 little bottles. I can't make out quite if that's a quarter ounce or a half an ounce of anointing oil. And it's called, in their website, they put it this way: according to most Bible scholars, in God's Word, anointing oil typically symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Well, that's true. But that was used in Old Testament times. New Testament believers have a promise from God that when they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells them, and indwells them permanently. In fact, Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Every believer is a possessor of the Holy Spirit. I don't need oil. Now, if you will notice something, and I don't know if you can see it very plainly there, this is the oil of joy. It's not the oil of Olay. But down here it says that it's 100% pure. And I say to myself, pure what? It's 100% pure Mazola, for all I know. At least it's not Valvoline. Oh, but you can buy these 6 little bottles of either a quarter of an ounce or half an ounce of anointing oil that will do absolutely nothing for you for a mere $16.99 plus shipping. And may I say to you that CBD does not put it on their website because no one has interest in it. It's there because someone is buying it. On another website, I found this. It's the St. Christopher's medal. The inscription around there says, "Behold St. Christopher, and go your way in safety." And the promise is here, he's the patron saint of travelers, making these pendants the perfect gift for anyone who spends a lot of time on the road, in the air, or just simply going places. And the promise is, if you're wearing this thing, God is going to provide protection for you, safety for you in your travels, and accomplishment. Well, let me ask a question. If you are going somewhere in the will of God, will you get there? Yeah. Will you get there wearing a medal or not wearing a medal? You'll get there. If you are going in the will of God, will you accomplish what God wants you to accomplish if you're acting faithfully? The answer is yes, with or without a medal. Why do I need this hanging around? What benefit can it give me? Except maybe cause me to go like this. This is a heavy one. This one is filled with gold, and you can purchase it for a mere $270. And I guess the more expensive the metal, the greater safety you're going to have. Well, here's another one. This one is from a televangelist by the name of Peter Popoff, and I don't like televangelists because the only accuracy of the description is tele. He's on the television. I don't think he's an evangelist. If you've ever seen his programs, and I've only seen glimpses of it, you don't hear the gospel being preached. I don't even know if the man knows the Lord, to be quite honest, but that's not my decision to make. But nonetheless, he's offering this miracle spring water, and it's for free. Well, you say, isn't that good? Yeah, well, it's good. And it's your point of contact for the miracle that you need. Popoff claims that the miracle water comes from a Russian spring that after the Chernobyl nuclear accident had actually protected those who drank it. They were just glowing with their recommendations. The letter goes on to say that this same spring water can miraculously protect the faithful today and help them prosper financially. All they have to do is follow God's instructions precisely. Now notice in the thing here, it's your point of contact for the miracle you need. He's not saying that the water will provide the miracle, but it's the point of contact that God is going to use to give you that miracle. And he goes on, and he emphasizes repeatedly, don't drink the water until you follow the divine leading and direction. Okay, what's that? They command you to sleep with the water one night. That's scary in and of itself. And then, drink it immediately after waking up the next day. Next, you've got to pray over the empty packet and then send it back to Reverend Popoff with a check for $17. Not $16, not $18, $17, because you have to follow the divine leading and directions precisely. So it's not really free. Well, then once you do that, you're on his mailing list, and you will soon receive another letter asking for more money in exchange for miracles. One letter comes along with a tiny bag of prayer-blessed Dead Sea salt. The instructions tell you to eat the salt over a 3-day period, and then guess what? Send in $27 to the ministry. Well, 2020 did an investigation into this Dead Sea salt. They hired an independent lab, and they said the Dead Sea salt bears no resemblance to this. It's closer in chemical formulation to regular table salt than anything else. But nonetheless, once you get that, if you still haven't received your miracle, you'll get another letter with all kinds of stuff in it. One of them has a piece of Christmas tree tinsel in it. The Christmas tree tinsel is referred to as a gold and silver blessing bracelet. Man, I've thrown out a lot of bracelets in my time. But another one is a sheet of paper that's cut out to look like a leaf from a tree. And these leaves you place on your prayer chart. And, of course, then you send a letter back to Reverend Popoff telling about how God has answered prayer along with your offering of, well, no, not this time, $200. And why does he offer this? Because people will do it believing that they can get something from God, and it's necessary. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The question or the statement that Paul is making here, man's greatest need is salvation. More than anything else, if you have nothing else in life, but you know Jesus Christ as Savior and your sins are forgiven and you have a righteous standing before God and an eternal home in heaven, you really have everything. And what did he charge you? To come to faith. Nothing. The greatest gift that God can give is a gift without cost to you. It cost him everything, but it cost us nothing. And he says, if he's willing to give you the greatest need at no cost, how much more will He give you the quote-unquote lesser things at no cost to you. And people are still spending on things that they needn't spend. Well, let's go on here. Not only are they spending on things they need not spend, they're worrying about things they did not need to worry about. Verse 3, and they said amongst themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? What's interesting about that is the verb tense said. It's an imperfect tense, which means that they were constantly saying. The whole way from start to the tomb was, hey, when we get there, what are we going to do? Somebody's got to roll this stone away. It wasn't a question that was asked once. It was a question that was asked repeatedly. Now, if you believed that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, you don't care about the stone. He's not there. In fact, that's what the angels will ask these women when they get there. Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He's alive. But they were worried about that. They found within themselves an inability to do something that needed to be done. Now, allow me, if you will, to define some terms. On one end of the spectrum, there's carelessness. On the other end of the spectrum, there's worry. Between the two, there's concern. Now, what's the difference? Carelessness says, what difference does it make if I am successful or not? Who cares? I couldn't care less. So we go to the tomb and the stone's there and there's no one. Oh, big deal, who cares? We just won't do it. Well, that's the right attitude, isn't it? If you are impressed with a ministry that God wants you to accomplish, an action that God wants you to do, you should care. Here's an obstacle that needs to be taken care of. So that won't work. On the other hand, worry says success is dependent upon the things I cannot control, like these women. They said, we can't move the stone. We don't have the strength within ourselves. And therefore, it's not guaranteed. If I can't do it myself, I have no certainty of getting the ministry done. What's that? It leaves out God. Concern, on the other hand, says success is dependent upon me being faithful, because God is in control. Well, should they have a concern? Well, yeah. But in this case, if they believe the scripture that said he's not going to be there, they would have had no worries. For all you Lion King fans, Hakuna Matata. No worry. We worry a lot about a lot of things, don't we? How many stones do we worry about that we cannot move? When God says, I've got something for you to do, He always, always, always provides the things necessary for the accomplishment of it. We may not find it within ourselves, but we will find it within Him. It's always there. God's success depends upon God, not us. But if you're not believing in the promises of God, for example, Paul said in Philippians, my God shall supply some of your needs. My son's not here this morning, so let me tell you a little story about my son. See, this way I won't get in trouble, because no one here is going to repeat this. Oh, I can see it just when he comes in the door. It'll be at my office. When his need for his new hearing aid came up, he said, $6,000 in 2 weeks. I can't do that. And I just said to myself, man, you're in a wonderful place, because God can. And I don't have the bulletins out yet, but they'll be out later. He has a thank you note in there. And God provided everything that was necessary. Everything. In less than 2 weeks. success is not dependent upon me doing what only I can do. Success is dependent upon God providing and me being faithful. They worried about things they did not need to worry about. Which brings us, oh, by the way, let me add one more point. Worry is usually pessimistic. It sees the probability of failure. Now, always there's a possibility, except when God's involved. Worry says that possibility is really probability. And you live life from a negative attitude. Well, let's move on. Not only did they worry about things they didn't need to worry about, they bore burdens that they did not need to bear. Somehow they had to get these spices from where they were to the tomb. Now, I don't know how heavy they were. It says in John that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea brought 100-pound weight of spices for his burial. I don't know if they had another 100 pounds. I have no idea what the weight was. But nonetheless, whether it was a great weight or a small weight, they had to carry it there. And if it was unnecessary to do this, they were carrying a burden that they didn't need to carry. And when you don't believe in the promises of God, you carry burdens with you that you don't need to carry. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the verse just went out of my mind. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why is that? Because a yoke harnesses two together. And he says, "Take my yoke," which means that Christ is going to be in the other side of the yoke that you're bearing. And he bears all those things for us. Oh, by the way, on the cross of Calvary, what was he bearing? Our sins. And a lot of people are going through life with the worry about, where will I be when life is over? And because they're not trusting in the cross of Christ, they're bearing a burden that's not necessary, that he already bore for them. And that's a weighty, weighty, weighty load to bear. But also there are Christians that are bearing burdens that they need not bear. We go back to this thing about worry and concern and so forth, and the burden of accomplishment. Well, God's given me a job to do. I don't know if I can do it. John chapter 16, verse 5. "Abide in me and I in you, and you shall bear much fruit." That's a promise. Whenever we are involved in the will of God, there's a promise of accomplishment. Well, what about the things that I don't have, that I need? 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7, Peter tells us that we are to be casting our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. And how many burdens we carry. Oh, the pain we often suffer, the peace that we forfeit, all because we do not carry our burdens to the Lord in prayer. The folly of unbelief. We spend on things that don't need to be spent. We worry about things that don't need to be concerned with. We bear burdens that we don't need to bear. When there is a promise of Scripture concerning everything pertaining to life and godliness. Let's be faithful. We won't have to worry about all these other things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that the activities of these ladies on resurrection morning were activities of vanity, unnecessary because Jesus Christ had risen. And Lord, help us to learn these lessons this morning, that we might not be bringing our own spices to a tomb that's empty in all the matters of life. May we learn not to spend time on things that are not necessary, or money on things that are ineffectual. May we learn not to worry about things, but be rightly concerned, trusting in the God of provision, and not then bear burdens that need to be that don't need to be borne. Lord, to that end, we pray for your will in our lives to be accomplished for your great glory, the same glory that Jesus manifested on that day of resurrection, of the accomplishment of his promise. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.